feel, let's move on from this just yet. Just keep worshiping the presence of God that's here. Just reach out. Someone, your breakthrough is right in front of you. I don't know if you caught on to what they were singing, but they were saying, may His favor be upon you. And then they get to the chorus and they say, amen. May His favor be upon you, and so be it. May it be upon you and on your family and on your children and their children for generations to come, and so be it. And when God says so be it, nothing can stand against it. Nothing can cause it to be deterred. Nothing can stop it from coming to pass. So may His favor be upon you, and so be it. In the name of Jesus.
I have already ordered and ordained your answer, your salvation, your forgiveness, your peace, and the wisdom that I want to give you. I only ask now for your permission. If you will grant permission for healing and blessing and answer and advice and forgiveness and strength and peace, it is already ordained. No power is going to be able to stop it. Your blessing is on its way with your permission. Your healing is on its way. Your family being ordered, it's on its way. I have already placed an amen behind it from my voice. If you will put an amen behind it, you shall know my glory, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's nothing that can stop. The devil cannot stop what he has ordered and ordained for you. The enemy or fear or anything else cannot stop. So what we can do right now, I want us just to praise the God of all power. Just praise Him and give Him permission. It's one thing to hear a message in tongues. It's another thing to be obedient to it. And if you're willing to give Him permission, if you're willing, He can take away that frustration. He can take away that crisis. He can take away your disappointment. Yes, He can. This is a prayer of permission right now. God, we give You permission. If you give Him permission, He'll settle that nervous situation. Yes, He will. He will give you an undergirding of peace right now. Hallelujah. Don't try to figure it out. Just give Him permission. I give You permission, God. Hallelujah. You can put all the pieces together. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to, I'm not going to hinder what God's wanting to do or put it off any longer. I want to direct our attention to the book of Acts, chapter 27, starting in verse 23. In this chapter, we're picking up Paul as a prisoner, and he is being transported to Rome. And while they're sailing, they encounter a storm in which the severity was so strong. The storm was so bad that it scared the sailors. Seasoned sailors, this is nothing new to them. They have done this many times before. They've made this voyage many times before, but the storm was so bad that even they were afraid. They did everything that they could. The Bible says that they tried to secure the ship, and that wasn't just tying down whatever was on board. That was a process of diving into the water, and they would have to swim all the way under the ship, and they would come up on the other side, and they would repeat that process, tying ropes to secure the ship. And even after all of that, the Bible says that the sailors had lost hope for their safety. They had lost hope that they would be saved, and we pick up in verse 23, and it reads, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, don't be afraid. I feel a spirit of anxiety in here this morning, and to you I say, don't be afraid." He's talking to Paul. "You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has come and granted you all of these who sail with you." The song we were just singing, "May his favor be upon you," but not just you, your family. Whew. Don't be afraid, Paul, because you're gonna make it, and all of those who are with you. "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near land, and they took soundings, and it found to be 20 fathoms. They were getting closer to a shore, but the storm was still going on around them. And they were fearing that they should run against the rocks, so they dropped four anchors from the stern, and they prayed for day to come." It's from this passage that I draw my title, and I want to talk today about being anchored. Can we pray one more time before you're seated? Lord, I thank you for your presence that we've already felt here in such a powerful way. God, I pray against the spirit of anxiety that may be here. I pray against anything that may be trying to distract or deter from the word that you want to go forth today. I pray that someone's life would be changed. I pray for freedom. I pray for liberty. And I pray for a release from anxiety in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. So be it. So be it. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Pastor preached a couple weeks ago about a gradual drift. I messaged him shortly after that service, and I knew what I was going to be speaking today. Today, I just want to take that a step further. I want to ask you this morning, what are you anchored to? Let me tell you, it matters what you're anchored to. The truth is that you can be anchored and still have a gradual drift in your life. If you've ever been on a boat, I have limited experience there, but if you've ever been on a boat and you're anchored, there's still some give with that rope. And you can still gradually drift, even though that anchor has been dropped. When you're anchored to the wrong things, the truth starts to distort. Are you anchored to Hollywood, where unattainable and ever fluid standards are set? Are you anchored to possessions and consumerism, because you'll never be satisfied there? Are you anchored to your work? There's nothing wrong with the pursuit of success, and there's nothing wrong with trying to provide for yourself and provide for your family, but when you're anchored to work, you've done it wrong. Maybe you're here today and you're anchored to people. And even that's a mistake because people at best are still people. I heard a preacher say, once you've anchored yourself to someone else, you're adding a weight to them that they were never meant to carry. Are you anchored to pastor, or are you supporting him as he is leading us? Are you anchored to the church? Even this has been severely tested as of late. We learn whether or not we are truly anchored properly when the doors of this church were shut and the live streams went on. What I'm saying is, don't amen too fast, because what I'm saying is, if you're dependent on coming here and being around the body in order to connect with God, then you are improperly anchored. If you've relied on these altar services to really, truly reach God, then you were not anchored to Christ. You were anchored to these steps. The past several months have been painfully revealing for some, so I ask you again, what are you anchored to? We look back on our text and we see that the sailors dropped four anchors. I don't know too much about sailing, but I can imagine that the reason they dropped four anchors as opposed to one is to best secure the boat in the middle of that storm. They didn't just say, we'll just drop one and we'll hope for the best. We'll drop two and we'll take our chances. No, no. They made sure to do absolutely everything that they could in order to ensure survival. And that meant being properly anchored. Today I want to focus on four ways that we need to be properly anchored. We need to be anchored in prayer. We need to be anchored in faithfulness, specifically to the house of God. We need to be anchored in the Word, both in what you read in the Bible and both what is preached. And we need to be anchored, lastly, and probably my favorite, we need to be anchored in praise. Prayer. If we look in the book of Daniel, we find a familiar story of Daniel showing just how important it is to be anchored in prayer. Some of you are scratching your heads. You know how the story goes, and you're wondering, but that's what got him thrown in the lion's den. What do you mean that this is a good example? Let me explain a little. After the decree goes out, the king was tricked. After the decree goes out that no one can worship or praise or pray to anything other than the king, Daniel's sitting there and he's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I've lived my way. The only way I've gotten this far is by prayer. The only way that I've made it to where I am today is because of prayer. Brad, can you grab that anchor for me? I had this burned and I was about to just forget it. Look, it's courtesy of Easy Dye. Shameless plug. Thanks, Aaron. And now the sermon's already better. Daniel, what am I going to do? I've only made it here by prayer and by the grace of my God. He's brought me through trials. When I was in the middle of all these men and the king was choosing who was going to be favored in the kingdom, he said, by only prayer. This is what did. So God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's just wondering what he's going to do. And all of a sudden he finds himself on his knees. God, they said I can't pray, but I don't know what to do. And before you know it, he's doing the very thing that he was told not to do. He didn't have to think about it. It was just natural for Daniel in the face of a trial to hit his knees and to pray to the God who got him to where he was. God, I don't know what to do today. The world's going crazy. I can't go outside without being fearful that something might happen to me physically, that something might happen to me with people pushing their own agendas in politics and all of this. I don't know what to do today, but just find yourself anchored to prayer. Just find yourself calling out to God, and I promise you, as surely as Daniel found safety in the middle of a lion's den, you will find safety where you are today in whatever trial it may be. Be anchored to prayer and trust that God will see you through. Daniel in the lion's den, this is what being anchored in prayer looks like. When the world is seemingly falling apart around you, call on the name of Jesus for help and find that he is the only sure source of safety in your den. When he was told he couldn't pray, he didn't even hesitate. The Bible says he went straight home and he knelt with the windows open and prayed three times as he did every day before. We have to be anchored in prayer and allow our prayers to strengthen our faithfulness. Faithfulness specifically right now, specifically to the house of God. In Acts chapter 3, we read the story of a man who was lame from birth. A man who got into the habit of being at the temple every single day the doors were opened. Here's the thing about that. He wasn't allowed to go in. Because of his disability, he was excluded. He wasn't allowed to actually go in, but he went every single day. And the Bible says that he went there to ask of an alms, but if you would allow me, I think that wasn't the only reason he went. I think he went there with a little hope in his heart, thinking, today might be the day they let me in. Today might be the day I get healed. Today might be the day I leave here walking. Sometimes the hope wasn't as strong as it could be. The man had been lame his entire life, so I'm sure there were times of doubt, hearing the men coming out of the temple with their new hope that they found in their prayer in the temple, hearing the barren woman come out, receiving the promise of a child, hearing the man come out whose son had finally come back to church after 10 long years, hearing the family receive their financial blessing in order to pay off debts, all the while you're sitting there with your hand out, hoping for something more. I heard a preacher say once in regard to church attendance, the service you decide it's okay for you to miss is surely the one that your answer was coming. Just like Pastor told us a couple weeks ago, we ought to schedule everything else around church and not church around everything else. When did that become okay? When did it become okay to miss church? How have we become so, this isn't in my notes, but how have we become so desensitized? It's just one service, it's not a big deal. And I'm not, don't misunderstand me here. But we have to understand the importance of being anchored in faithfulness to the house of God. The lame man was faithful, and the Lord always honors the faithful. Be anchored in faithfulness, and I proclaim in the name of Jesus that you will rise up and walk out of whatever trial that you are in today. We must be anchored in faithfulness. Faithfulness to the house of God, to hear the preached word of God. We must also be anchored in the Word. We read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. We're going to go through 17. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here it is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thy word, Lord, it's a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. Pastor preached to us just a couple weeks ago. We must hold to biblical values with an unchanging grip and hold to God's commands. In the Word, we find truth. In the Word, we find how to use discernment. In the Word, we find what is right from what is wrong. In the Word, we find direction in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a storm. It's all found in His Word. We must be anchored to the Word. Hallelujah. And it's in that Word we can find how our praise can be a weapon in any season of doubt, trial, or persecution. Praise. Before we get into this, can we just lift up a praise? Can we just lift up a praise to God? Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in this service and for where you're wanting to take us. We lift up a praise to you, God, because you're worthy of it. Lord, help us to be anchored in praise. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We lift up a praise. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 22, now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day, they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. Skipping to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. The people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took that city. In Psalm 34, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Your praise is a weapon. Your praise isn't just for deep. I'm going to sit back here and I love you, Jesus. I thank you, God. In the middle of all this, no, your praise puts you on the offense. When the devil seems to be taking ground against you and you open up your mouth and you begin to lift a praise to God, you're taking back ground. You're taking back ground for your family. You're taking back ground that's been lost over the years that the enemy's been trying to tear you down. You're saying, no, not anymore. This is my praise, and devil, you can't have it. So whenever I get sick, I throw out a rope of praise.
I'm not even worried because God's doing something.
Whenever you get that doctor's report back, throw out a rope of praise. Whenever I lose my job, I just throw out a rope of praise. When my loved one doesn't get a good report back, I can throw out a rope of praise. And it's holding on by this anchor. When you open up your mouth and you let out a praise to God in the middle of the storm, you're throwing it out. You're throwing out that rope. It's attached to that anchor, and it will keep you safe. It will keep you secure. We must be anchored in praise. I ask you again today, what are you anchored to? Oh, I read my Bible, but I just don't always have the time to pray every day. You know, I come to services when I can. I come to church every now and then. And that's where I get my word for the week. I praise God. I give him thanks for all that he's given me. But I don't really pray to him. When you're only anchored to one of these things, the boat can still turn. And your attention is pointed in different directions. When you don't have all four anchors dropped, you move and you drift not a lot faster, but ever so gradually. You may not be off course, but your attention is facing somewhere else, and you start seeing things that God never intended for you. It's hard when you only have one anchor. It takes a lot more work to stay on course. Maybe it's time today to drop a new anchor and to see what the Word says about dealing with temptation. Because when your boat's facing this way and you're supposed to be facing that way, you see these things that look pretty appealing. And maybe it drifts back over this way and you're not off course, but you're not looking in the right direction. And that's temptation. Now you have two anchors in the water, and it's a little harder for the boat to drift in the wrong direction. We must trust that the anchor will hold us. I think of the story Pastor was sharing about boating with his father-in-law and him yelling, "Grab that rope, boy. When you start getting off track, grab that rope. Get anchored back to the values that have held you and brought you to victory." Because you said it yourself, Pastor, it's those values that will take you through to victory. When you feel the gradual drift happening and you think, "How did I get here?" I want you to hear the Spirit of God yelling, "Grab that rope." You feel like you're starting to fade, grab that rope. You feel like giving up, grab hold of that rope. You feel like God doesn't hear you, grab that rope. Things aren't going to get better for me. Just reach out, grab that rope and pull it until you realign yourself with where the anchor has you held. Brother Raymond Woodward preached a sermon about being anchored to heaven, in which he said, "The pull of the anchor is greater than the push of the world." He went on to say, "Every prayer you make to God throws out a new rope. And although you can't see it, everything you've prayed for is anchored in heaven." I think it's time today to throw out some new ropes. To throw out some new ropes with our prayers. To throw out some new ropes with our praise. Can we all stand? If we look back at our text, Acts 27 and verse 24, we find Paul's promise. You can throw that up there if you have it. "Don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you." That's the promise that Paul is going to make it through this storm. Let that be your promise today. Don't be afraid in the middle of anxiety. Don't be afraid in the middle of the craziness around you. Don't be afraid in whatever season you may be going through. Because you must be brought through. Notice, Brother Peter was preaching in the service before, and he was talking about Philip and the eunuch, and Philip was taken up. He was transported after baptizing the eunuch. Notice Paul wasn't taken up and transported off of this boat in the middle of that storm. You must be brought before Caesar. You're going to make it through, Paul. I'm not going to just take you out of it, but there's some lessons that I want you to learn here. In this trial that you're going through, there's some lessons I want you to learn in this storm that you're facing. But don't be afraid. That's our promise. That is our promise. So amen. I ask you again today, what are you anchored to? Are you anchored in prayer? Maybe it's time to grab a hold of one of those ropes and to pull yourself back to where you need to be. Are you anchored in the Word? Maybe it's time to listen to the voice of God speaking to you, trying to get your attention, saying, grab that rope. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who can begin to lift up a praise right now. No matter what season you're going through, you can lift up a praise right now and say, God, I know it's dark right now. I know there's a lot of chaos going around about me. I know that the world seems to be lost in this moment, but I choose to lift my praise to you, God. Lord, I know that I've been praying for this for the past 5 years, for the past 10 years. But God, I'm going to hold on to that anchor. I'm going to trust that your word is true. I'm going to believe that you didn't bring me this far to let me fail now. I'm going to hold on to that anchor and believe in what you're trying to do. Lift up a praise to God no matter where you are today. Maybe someone here needs to recommit to being anchored to God. Oh, Lord, we lift you up. We praise you today, God. I want to be anchored to you. I want to be anchored to your word. I want to be committed to this walk with you. I know it's not easy. Your word didn't promise me that, but you did promise me, God, that you'd be with me every step of the way. You did promise me, Lord, that great abundant things above all we ask or think. Lord, we trust in you. We proclaim your word here in this place. I speak against any spirit that may be trying to tear someone down. I speak against depression. I speak against the spirit of loneliness. I speak against the spirit of anxiety in the name of Jesus. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of love and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would find strength in the word today. Find peace and find comfort. Peace that passes all understanding when it doesn't make sense with the things going on around you. I speak peace. I speak peace. I speak comfort. I speak strength in the name of Jesus. We trust in you, God.
Oh, why don't we anchor right now with some praise? Would you give a shout of praise unto God? Why don't you just consider this anchoring yourself in his presence today and anchoring yourself and attaching your line to his. We worship you today and praise you, God, because you're worthy, but also because it gets me closer to you and it gets me tethered to you and it gets me near you, Jesus. We praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these anchors. We thank you, Jesus. And I thought as Lorenzo was preaching and delivering the word, we are anchored to something that is stronger than bedrock. That even though it gets a little crazy, and maybe even around November, this time of year, things are getting a little wild, we are anchored to something that is not moving. It's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. His kingdom's not going anywhere. I thank God for the anchor that we're attached to, and these anchors we get to hold on to. Would you thank him again for his word, which is an anchor? Thank him again for that hope, Lord, that we have in heaven, which is an anchor. We know it's not going anywhere, so I thank you today that we are anchored to something true and strong. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thankful for the word of God that keeps us connected.